So, Joe, you have this really disturbing case scenario that we've just heard here. Unfortunately, this woman with metastatic disease, the implications of a false negative are maybe not quite the same as losing that option in the adjuvant setting. Do you think that people in this situation who are being evaluated who have either HER2 negative or ER negative should be reflexly retested?
Well, yeah, there's another potential issue here in that there may have been a false positive on the ER. And that could have been the potentially more damaging error.
That's a much more rare, difficult kind of error to get.
Right. The point is that I think when one sees sort of borderline results for ER, one always questions whether or not endocrine therapy alone would be adequate therapy. I'm much more confident about using endocrine therapy when I generally see higher levels of ER expression. So I would be concerned about using endocrine therapy alone in a circumstance like this, although I don't think it was inappropriate. You know, again, I think it comes down to being comfortable with the local pathologist that you work with and the confidence.
Yeah, but in this case, it wasn't done by the local pathologist.
Understood. Well, I could tell you, I've always questioned, you know, when I see a patient for a second opinion who's been diagnosed elsewhere, I always have the slides reviewed.
And, ER also?
And also HER2? For the ER and HER2. But I always question...
And controls.
Yeah, well, yeah, I always question the... I actually try and get the original blocks and repeat the testing.
So
but
for
I always
patient,
question the utility of that. But I think this case illustrates that there is a potential utility for that exercise.
I can tell you my thought process when this all happened in mid-2004. So this was a time in life when all of us were very being bombarded with issues related to the false positive testing for HER2. And there was very little discussion about the implications related to the HER2 negatives. I can tell you that some of my thought process as far as dealing with these patients and even our standard parameters of how to deal with these patients, right now, anybody who comes from the outside with a negative immunohistochemistry marker, a ERPR negative or HER2 negative, we get the blocks and have them repeated internally. And that has become a routine standard.
Paul? This highlights the point that, you know, when there are 100 new tests 30 years from now, are we really going to have every hospital performing these tests and every hospital re-performing them if the patient doesn't trust their hospital or goes for another opinion and then another opinion and another one and another one? How many tests are going to be performed and what level of confidence is ever going to be achieved? There's got to be regional standardized testing for these complicated tests.
Craig?
And, you know, an error like this case regarding HER2, the hormone receptors may have not been an error. It's hard to imagine how that happens because the difference between a 1+ and a 3+ is really large. And it's just possible that it was even transcription error or something because it's really hard to come up with a difference like that. But assuming it is true, this is the easiest problem in terms of discordant results to resolve, and that's training.